accession number 17987, reel 5.
Reel 5.
And as I said, the Korean maps weren't too bright. I went round this big hill, big round curving hill, and I decided to go up into the hill. There's a big re-entrant there. I thought I'd start up there and go forward and next hill, see what was there. And consequently, I'm going up there and I am bursting for the toilet. And no joking about it. The American rations and that, you know. I'm going up this hill and I'm plodding on, going up this big rounded hill. And I'm going further on. There's a tree stump up there. It's all wooded around the edges, but I mean like a big meadow with a tree stump. And I thought, well, this is it, I've got to go, otherwise I'm going to be in a heck of a mess. So I put all my kit down, I took all my kit off, and I dropped my trousers and leaned against this tree stump, and all I could think of was some grinning Chinese lining up his sights on my arrival, and somewhere wouldn't do me any good, you know, grinning like an idiot, ready to lose one off. But luckily there wasn't one. Anyway, I plodded on up the hill and reported to the commanding officer, Major, what was his name? Oh, can't think what his name was. And it turned out to be B Company. And during that night, he gave me orders what he wanted, was a crossing, like a crossing in some edges in the valley below. He said, get your mortar lined on that area, or set on that area, and that'll do me fine. So I arranged, or prior to that rather, I arranged on DFS, so I started as we normally do. Then he came later on, he said, what we're going to do, we're going down the hill tonight, and we're going to help the Australians in. They're going in tomorrow, so we're going to be shooting them in. So he said, I want you to range the mortars on that cross there. He said, get them all there. He said, no, clear the area. He said, I'll do me right. So I thought, come on, strike a light. Want to move, as you know. So I always remember it made an 18 degree switch to the right. And I lobbed over a test bomb, a ranging bomb. And they dropped within 10 feet of that, you know, cross. And I said, will that do? He said, that'll do me all right. And there's a Lieutenant Henry and his master sergeant, Wells operator, from the American Chemical Battalion, I'll tell you about. And he said, put yours there as well, the 4.2s. So Lieutenant Henry and his men started. And there's bombs dropping in our positions, you know, ranging bombs. So more the smoke bombs away, you know. So Sergeant Major stopped it all and said, pack it in. And he got all the men, he said, all you blokes, get in your slit trenches and don't come out till I tell you. And poor old Lieutenant Henry is standing there blushing like a schoolboy, don't know what to make of it. And he was there, well, I don't know how long he was there, about half an hour I think he was, ranging on his on a target. But we had to move during the night and I had all my kit on my back. And can you imagine anywhere getting over the heights of Ben Nevis? And we had to go down into the valley in pitch black and as I said, get ready to shoot the Australians in. As I'm going on, I started out behind the company commander and I'm top heavy, I've got ammunition boots on, and we're going down a ridge and I lose my footing. And I can't stop myself. I'm slowly sliding down into the gully. And all I could think about was all I need is a twig or a little branch or a rock and my marrow prospects are ruined forever. You know, that's all I could think about. And I stopped eventually and I climbed up and I did that about three times. And I finished up behind the last man of the company almost. Oh, everybody got down in front of me. Because I've got wireless set and everything on the back, you know. And I finished up, my trousers were a sheet of ice when I got down to the, tried to drive out, you know. But we shot the guns, we did the job, but I'll never forget that. trip down the mountainside on my backside. Not much else to talk about now. No, we ought.
But on that occasion, you were supposed to be giving support to the Aussies.
Yeah, they shoot them in the of the. You're down in the foothills with all your men, you know, and you help them out with firepower while you're firing on the target. They're keeping their heads down, and the Australians are advancing on them. That's the idea. You know, the same. You break it right down to section and attack. We get the Bren gun off to one side, and the machine guns the target area while the riflemen are approaching it. And it's the same thing. Eventually, we got the word we were going to move back to Hong Kong. The KYSBs had come out. We were supposed to be there a month, but we were there longer. Because as soon as we saw the 29 Brigade, we were on a stopgap. We saw 29 Brigade at Pyongyang. We came down with Centurion tanks. We thought, well, they don't need us anymore. But they did. And kept us as long as they could. I was put on the advance party. And I got to Pyongyang, to Incheon. There's the USS Montreal was waiting for us. We moved in there. Ice cream, the full bit, you know. And next day the battalion joined us, and we joined in boxing matches and various things with the American Navy. The thing we finished at 4 each, if I remember rightly. Captain Ferry won his fight. He was a man that was that big and strong. He could go tramping up the hills with 2 mortar barrels on his shoulders, you know. Not just one, we'd take one man all the time to get up where he took 2. You know, he's a good fella. Don't give up. We used to take mortars up the top of the hills, walk them up there, fire and get a better view, fire, you know, different things. Various places. You know, pretty good. Not a great deal to say now. Can't think much at all.
You were saying earlier something about forward signs.
Well, that's a little thing they used to say a lot for the military police. I mean, the Americans, when they took a down, see, all divisions have got the different signs and different code names. 27th Division was Nottingham. So when you saw Nottingham 4, you know they were up the front. And different branches of it, you might have a different name, a different colour number, a colour difference. And the Americans used to put, if they captured a town, they put up a huge placard way out of town, was this, and the next posted of town was captured by such and such and such and such. You got a long line of posts, you know, or you are now entering the town courtesy of such and such a regiment from such and such a division, US Army and all that rubbish. But when the military police did it for us, all they did was put up a little sign. Because it's 27th Brigade. And I said a lot more.
And all those 27th Division.
27th Brigade. We were the 27th Brigade. And they said a lot more than the Americans. Because the 27th Brigade was pushed out to Korea and went to the 27th British Infantry Brigade. And then we became when the Australians joined us, we became the 27th Individual, you know, like 27th, Independent Brigade. Then in New Zealand, the Indian Army Ambulance Unit joined us. Great fellas, they were. And we couldn't have got better gunners than New Zealand gunners. And they were some of the best gunners I've seen. And a lot of them were Maoris. And they gave a great big party for us when we were leaving. I don't know what the stuff was that made up, but by Craig, it's powerful. Yeah. And we were always, you got MacDonald Hastings, he made a series on TV. They talk about the Yanks doing this, that, and the other, and the difference between, you know, fire brigade divisions. those five brigade divisions were always tipped by the 27th Brigade at the front. We always led. You know, you can see the Yanks made over putting Bridge up there first.
Were you in any other active service after Korea?
No, no.
So, how long were you in the army for?
I came out 53.
And you were never wounded in Korea?
No, my brother was. He was. He served his time in Japan there, you know. Don't know if shell shocked him or whatever, but he'd been duffed up on 282.